Hello everyone, and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Kotowska, and I will be your host. This is UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of studies, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most importantly, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercises that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go! Today's show topic is very interesting. We will talk about toxic friendship and how does it start and what can we do about it. Friends are allowed to make mistakes, of course they are. At least that's what you thought when your BFF forgot your birthday. But then he or she flaked on you again last week or lied to you last month. Disappointed you so many times recently that you even lost count. If you're starting to feel like your bestie is no longer the best thing for you, chances are you might be in toxic relationship, friendship. This kind of friendship has a tendency to sneak up on people because the signs are often very subtle. But generally, a toxic friendship harms you emotionally. You can tell a friend is toxic when they cause stress and sadness or even anxiety. And if all that weren't enough, a toxic friendship can also drain you and make you doubt yourself. In general, being in a toxic friendship can do a real number on your mental health by depleting your energy, making you lash out on the loved ones, and even lose sleep. So if you aren't getting what you need from a friendship, which is companionship, enjoyment and support, then it might be a time to let it go and leave it in the past. Today I'm speaking to our one and only Dr. Audrey Chang. She's a chartered psychologist who is our regular guest speaker, so no introduction needed. She's our superstar. Dr. Audrey has been more than a friend to our show. And she always, always helps us to understand very difficult psychological topics. So, Audrey, I would like to welcome you back to our show.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden. Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Good. How are you?
I want to say
oh, yes. Good afternoon.
Good
Good afternoon. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm very well, thank you. I'm tired. I was up at 5 o'clock today because I had a presentation to make in India at 6:30 British time. So it'd be 11 o'clock their time.
Well, thank you for being here. And as usual, giving your knowledge and expertise on a subject that is relevant, I think. Toxic relationships, friendships, how does it start and what can we do about it? So, Audrey, you've been here several times. We always talk about very much psychological, but also lifestyle type of related topics. What would you say about today's topic?
I think all of us can relate to today's topic. I know that I've had toxic friendships in the past. I know how difficult they are to recognize in the first instance, and also how difficult they are to leave, because you do somehow get drawn back, perhaps out of a sense of loyalty. And so toxic friendships is a really important topic to talk about, because time spent in a toxic relationship is time wasted in so many ways. And also, the reason why I want to talk about how difficult it can be to extricate ourselves from it is so that we don't feel guilty and add that time and energy on top of the fact that we spent so long in that toxic environment.
Mm-hmm. So to start with, what would you call a toxic friendship? How would you define it? How can we kind of recognize it?
Toxicity, as the word itself, is defined as poisonous or harmful in a pervasive or insidious way. We don't always recognize that it is harming us, but the harm is there, whether we're feeling exhausted or whether we're feeling teary or depressed or even anxious, the harm is there. And the thing is, we may not actually realize we're involved in a toxic friendship or relationship until we really begin to feel that something's not right. And as compassionate beings, we often make excuses and we often try to understand, and then we accept those excuses as well. So if somebody is behaving in a flaky manner, but then they come and they say, oh, I'm so sorry, this happened and that happened and all of this, we sort of say, oh yeah, it happens to me. Okay, that's fine. And it's only when we start putting it together, that friend is always late, that friend is never reliable, that friend, you begin to think, hang on a minute, that friend values his or her time a lot more than they value mine. And then you question, how even is this friendship? And that's when you begin to realize, perhaps there is some sort of imbalance, if not toxicity, going on.
Mm-hmm. So does it start from, you would think, not perhaps being fully involved in the friendship, or being flaky, or being late? Those are the first symptoms or signs?
There's a number of them. Flakiness is one of them, because that can speak to value. But then it can also be that friend might have a very disorganized life. So that, again, that's what I mean by the understanding. But patterns of this behavior is quite important. Putting you down is another one. So not celebrating your successes, or that backhanded compliment of, you've lost weight finally, or something like that. It's when you start going, hang on, that wasn't very nice. Mm-hmm. Or if when you spend time with them, it is about them. They don't ask you how you're feeling, or they only do to so you can ask them, but how are you? And then suddenly that dominates the conversation. They gossip. That's another one. And this is quite an important one. They tell your secrets. Now, a secret is one of the most powerful things you can give to someone, because it's often something you say when you're at your most vulnerable. And then if you hear that secret being broadcast, you might then begin to think, well, actually, I only told two people. So what's going on here? And you can be pretty sure if a friend gossips about other people with you, they may well be gossiping about you with other people. Mm. This one's an interesting one, another sign which we do tend to ignore. But if
our other friends aren't that keen on that person. That's quite interesting. And one toxic relationship I was in was really only highlighted to me when a friend of mine said, oh, you know, it's really nice of you to ask us to go on holiday with you, but we really don't quite like the person you're going with.
Situation.
Oh my goodness. And I really trust these friends. These friends are, you know, one of them was the bridesmaid at my wedding, is that kind of thing. And this particular friend, the one who told me this, is one of those brutally honest people. she just can't help herself. So I had no reason to doubt she actually meant it. And then I started reflecting and thought about why. The other thing is when people might be using you for their benefit. So it's about being your friend so you can get them into the club. And they're always talking about what we can do together, but it always involves your things and your car and your entry pass and your connections. The other one that's very interesting is if you have a friend who doesn't seem to have long-term friends. Now, I use this with a caveat because some people, they just grow apart, and some people are really, really bad at keeping in touch with others. But I had another friend who, this was the red flag, which I totally ignored. They said, my relationships are always like this. People are really good friends with me, and then suddenly they don't want to see me anymore. Mm-hmm. And of course, I immediately went to compassion. Oh, that's so sad. Oh, that's awful. Until about 2 years on, where you suddenly go, I see why. And I admit, and maybe I'm ashamed to admit it, I am one of those people who also dropped off the radar because I took it as a bit of a reprieve that, okay, let's not spend time together. That you go spend time with other people. They might try and change you. Is another thing. So they keep saying about how great you are the way you are, but then there's always these little, but try this dress on or try this makeup or do your hair like this. And it's not you. It doesn't feel right for you. And the last one is that you feel exhausted when you come away from them, whether it's because they've been talking too much or they just, it's all been about them, or maybe they're just really negative. And I fully understand that people go through stuff, but the going through stuff as a friend is shared. It's not a dump. It's not trauma dumping on somebody. That's not fair. And if that person doesn't have their own self-awareness to not do that, then you may need to, well, make them aware. But if they still don't change that, then you may need to perhaps distance yourself from them. The only one other thing I would add, sorry, is just that sometimes one of the signs is people don't validate how you feel, but actually sometimes this can come from a place of love. So I don't want this to be confused with toxicity, but it can be a toxic behavior. So if you go up to somebody and you say, oh, I'm so stupid, or I'm such an idiot, and they immediately, because they love you, they say, no, you're not, you're wonderful, you're brilliant, you're perfect, you're all of these things. It comes from love. It absolutely does. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't allow you your right to feel like that. So one of the best things you can do there as a friend, a good friend, is to say, I'm really sad to hear that. Why? And get into the conversation rather than try to dismiss how they feel and try and make them feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what you just said, I mean, I'm going through my, you know, friendships. And I'm like, whoops, yeah. Ups, whoops, whoops, three, yeah. Four, five, six. And I'm like, oof, I know, I've been through certain situations when I'm like more like you, just trying to like slightly escape those situations without harming someone's feelings too, because at the end of the day, I know those people also have their some type of traumas, and the way they behave is based on something else. So I'm trying to always gently, smoothly make a leave, but not letting them feel left out, because I know the majority, what you just said, of them feeling abandoned as well. So it's like, yeah, I get a new friends, but why cannot stay? Or I get a new boyfriend, but what cannot stay? And you see that they're not really analyzing the why. It's just there as a question mark, but it's not as a, you know, kind of thinking process of to think about it. It's just to put the question out there and making themselves look like a victim.
Yes.
A lot of things that you mentioned sounds a little bit, you remember when we had the conversation about gaslighting and narcissism, it seems pretty similar. So in order not to judge those toxic friends or friendships in harsh way, as if it's narcissism, how can we define those two? And how can we, I don't know, perhaps find how to deal with this, how to deal with toxic friendships?
That is a brilliant question, because when somebody is being narcissistic or they are gaslighting, it's deliberate. They don't care about what you're thinking or feeling, and they're simply doing it for their means. Whereas a lot of toxic friendships, exactly as you say, they stem from people having their own traumas, their own lived experiences. And sometimes compassion can be the best way of actually helping them work through. It's often about being clear with your boundaries. And this can also work for gaslighting and narcissism as well, is I can take so much, but no further. And with a friendship, because it is a friendship, and we don't know whether it is narcissism or just simply someone's behavior at the time and their need to work things through in a certain way, we just need to be kind when we set our boundaries. We might say to someone, we talked about this a lot. In fact, we've talked about this every single time we've been together. I'd really like to talk about something different. We can still talk about you if you need to talk about other stuff, but I'd really like to change the subject from your boyfriend or your friendship with so-and-so or the gossip at work or whatever it might be. And hopefully that's enough to let them realize, oh my goodness, they might even say, I didn't realize I was going on about it so much. And that might be enough to make them realize, you know what, I need some help here. And it's that helping somebody to become more self-aware can make a huge difference. So it's always about giving people the benefit of the doubt first and making your feelings clear, making your boundaries clear. I can help you with this, but I can only go so far. Or even asking them if you know it's someone who's going to go on about a problem they're having and they never follow any advice you give them. You might want to say at the outset, do you want me just to listen to you and be a sounding board, or do you actually want me to come up with some helpful suggestions? And again, that way you know what that person expects of you. And again, that person is forced into thinking, actually, what do I want to get out of this interaction? So raising the question, making people aware, and also being aware of your boundaries is really important.
Mm-hmm. So what the toxic friendship can lead to?
Well, unfortunately, toxicity can lead to a lot of painful breakups, in the sense of one friend who you might not realize was toxic or was using you in some way suddenly then switches to somebody else. And then you start thinking, well, what did I do? And it can lead to a lot of self-doubt, and it can be quite damaging to our self-esteem. A friend who's always putting us down or telling us we would be better if we just did this, again, a hit to our self-esteem. A friend who maybe likes to hang around with us because we've got money or because of something that we can offer them or because of our generosity, again, can be a hit to our self-esteem. And the saddest part of that is a lot of people who are overly generous are often doing it because they've got such low self-esteem themselves that they think, actually, no one's going to hang around with me unless I pay for their lunch or I give them gifts. And I think that's so, so sad. And then when suddenly you find out someone is using you in that way, it's absolutely heartbreaking. You're almost reminded, yep, you're absolutely right. So that's why I say it's really important to focus on the friendships that are healthy. It's not just about dropping the toxic, but if we start focusing on the ones that you can be yourself in, you can be authentic in, the ones that champion you, the ones that you come away feeling, yes, I had such a great time, and spend more time with those people, you will begin to see the difference in the traits. And like you said, with the sort of reducing the time that you spend with the toxic friendships, if you spend more time with the healthy ones, you will then find you have less time to spend with the less healthy ones.
You will see the difference as well in behavior. So you will be able to compare. That's what happened to me. I was able to just realize, wait a minute, why that person can act this way, but the other one acts completely different? Why do I feel guilty when I'm with that person and not when I'm with this person? Why do I feel tired, drained when I'm with this person, and I feel energized when I'm with that other person?
Yep.
So it's sad. Absolutely. My question here is, what do we do that we get ourselves into those friendship relationship, right? Because that's another layer of that subject. It's like, okay, forget about the toxic people. They there. Or narcissists, they there. But why do we get ourselves in those relationships? We attract them. Why?
Yes. Well, sometimes using the money situation, that would be a good one to start with. If in our own lived experience or upbringing, we have not built our self-worth and self-value and self-esteem to recognize that we are acceptable just as we are, we will often do things to try and get people to spend time with us or to please other people. And unfortunately, because behavior is the only thing that others can really judge us on or understand, seek to understand us on, we will often start attracting the people who want money or who want you to do things for them or who want to take. If we are giving all the time, we will attract takers. And what you may notice is that with your healthy friendships, the give and take is equal. They may even start saying things to you like, oh, I knew you'd buy us something. You absolutely don't need to. Or you find that if even if you're buying things, they're buying things for you in exactly the same way. So again, like you say, it's that comparison between the healthy relationships and the unhealthy ones. But a lot of the reason why we're drawn into those situations or find ourselves in those situations is because something in our own that we need is coming out and we haven't learned to manage it yet. So once we recognize that, we can start dealing with that particular thing and giving ourselves the love or the self-compassion or self-worth that we actually need. The other reason why we might get drawn into something is another need that's lacking. So for example, if you are lonely, but you know you're an attractive person, you may go out and have meaningless relationships because it stops you feeling lonely. And then you start wondering, well, why is no one sticking around? Well, because you came across as only wanting a meaningless relationship. Mm-hmm. So again, it might be a strategy that we have created or developed to help us through one thing, which is actually beginning to backfire on us because it's really not what we want. So what we have to do there is think about, well, what is it that I'm lacking? What is it that I need? And that is very painful. So people don't always want to think about it in that way, but that's another way we get drawn in. Another thing that can happen is if you are somebody that others describe as you pick up strays, it can be because you either feel guilty about having so much and therefore want to give again to other people, or it can sometimes be because you are a bit of an open door. You want to be kind and you want to be generous and you want to do all of those things. But then you pick up people who don't have boundaries and don't know when taking a lot is too much. And sometimes then you have to reset your boundaries or vocalize them formally. I've had to tell somebody, for example, we work together. I'm professional and polite, but I have never given you any indication of a deeper friendship than that. And I wouldn't want you to put me in that position where I would only let you down. And it's, again, because we might be polite and people who maybe are a bit needy misread that as wanting to have that close relationship.
Mm-hmm. So we know how we can characterize toxic friendship, but what signs toxic friend has or characteristic on its own?
That's an interesting one, because sometimes it is narcissism that is driving the toxic behavior. And narcissism is a need to put yourself before everybody else. In other words, it's more like it doesn't matter if everyone loses, but if one person wins, I need to beat them. It's about putting you first, no matter what. And that sort of I guess they call it the dark triad. That's the phrase that's used. Narcissism. So this self-grandiosity, that I'm brilliant at this, I'm wonderful, that can be mistaken for arrogance. Machiavellianism, which is manipulation and being able to affect and influence other people's behavior without real concern for that person or the consequences. And psychopathy, or psychopathy. And we need to remember, when it comes to the dark triad, not everybody who is on the psychopathic side of the scale is going to be a murderer or a killer. It doesn't necessarily work like that. But because they have less feelings of remorse, it just makes certain behaviors easier. So if somebody is just not sorry if they've hurt you, and I don't even mean they didn't realize they hurt you, they know you've told them they've hurt you and they're just not sorry about it and they do it again, that may well be an indication of toxicity that stems from within the person. But then, because certain toxic friends may start through their own needs, it may be that they keep looking to you to solve all their problems, and they, as you say, paint themselves as the victim, and they don't take responsibility. They're not empowered to solve their own issues. And again, that's harder for you to help because you're not trained in that way. And actually, as a friend, even though I am a coach and I am a psychological academic, I would also feel, do you know what? I'm not paid enough to deal with this. So you've got to make that decision of what sort of energy do I really want in my life right now?
You know, and speaking on that note, like recently I've been feeling very guilty because I've been that person that just a little bit pulled myself out of certain situations, certain people. And I felt very guilty about it. I was speaking over and over about it with my boyfriend, thinking like, Jesus, man, I'm such a bad friend. But I was, there's something, some voice inside of me telling me, I just need to take that time. It's maybe I will come back to that person, but I'm just tired.
Yeah.
Tired when I'm done with that person, you know, tired of hearing the same thing, tired of not seeing really results, tired of giving advice, but not seeing nothing is changing. So, you know, every relationship, and we might be, and that's the truth, it's just give and take, like you just mentioned. And if you feel like you're kind of giving, but you don't receive that even a slight light of, oh, there is a change, something, we talk about something different, or maybe the energy has changed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think I need to take some time. And that makes me feel guilty. So, you know, for people who are friends with toxic people, certain people, how do we cope with that feeling of guiltiness, of perhaps abandoning those people that we want to be friends with, but we know they're not really good to us, but we still deal with that weird feeling of like, oh, am I the one who is at wrong? Am I the one who is like abandoning someone?
Yeah. Sometimes you actually have to engage in a bit of self-compassion work. And one of the things that I do is I use the affirmation, I cannot save people from themselves. Mm-hmm. You can save people.
I'm gonna write it down. I love it.
And just, I remind myself of that. And that really helps, because what that means is if they are not in that position, so you can throw them as many ropes as you like, you can even jump in, but if they're going to pull you down at that point, you can't do much more for them. However, things may change, mm-hmm. and they may be in a position to hear you. And that's great later on, but just not right now. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you might yourself, rather than go over old ground of feeling guilty, because that doesn't actually move you forward anywhere, is do a more guided self-reflection and ask yourself things like, well, what actually drew you into that person in the first place? Was it a need that you were lacking that drew you to that person? And if it was, then actually, if you're feeling guilty about it because you think, oh, I started the friendship, I did that, well, then learn from it and don't do it again in the future. Don't bring someone else into it it's because relationships are two way. So learn from that. You might also wish to reflect on, were there red flags that you overlooked and why did you overlook them? So again, that will give you a learning experience. What behaviors do you notice in you when things aren't feeling right, and pay mind to them, because that is your body saying to you something is going wrong. And if we don't attend to it, our body has funny ways of making us ill or giving us aches and pains or making us stressed or depressed, all of those things. It tells you something's not right here. So it's better to listen to it early on. And also remember that it is okay to keep editing and curating your life. You may well have changed, and those people were great at one point, perhaps when you needed that energy, but maybe you don't anymore. And sometimes it's about mentally being able to say thank you and goodbye to them, almost thanking them for the good times. It doesn't necessarily need to be voiced to them, but it does help if you can do that for yourself and say, I let you go, and I do hope you're happy, because you're not wishing ill on them, but just right now you're not the right person for them either. So that can be quite important. And forgive yourself too, because there's no point almost adding guilt to an already exhausting experience. Because realistically, if you are going to go around and feel really, really guilty about it, you have two choices of action. One is you go back to that relationship because you feel so guilty, you don't want to feel guilt anymore, or you try and work through the guilt. But it's got to be active. We can't just remain stagnant. And as I say, the ways of working through the guilt will be things like the self-affirmations and reflecting on the situation, so perhaps you don't end up in the same situation yourself later on.
So once we acknowledge, okay, I'm in a type of trouble, toxic friendship, how do we distance or even let go of that friend?
Boundaries are the best way. Setting boundaries, making clear what your boundaries are, what's not acceptable, what is acceptable. Now, this can be as simple as saying, for example, they want to hang out with you all the time. And it's harder when the toxic relationship is in your family because you feel a loyalty to go and see them. But it might be, I can do this, but I can only do it between this time and that time. You've set the boundary. And then outside that boundary, go and spend time with the good people, the ones that you love, because what that will do is that will energize you for the time that you're spending with the toxic one. Again, like we said earlier, it might be about changing the subject, making them aware that that subject is getting a little bit tired and there might be something else they want to talk about. It might be delaying saying yes, because sometimes people catch us off guard and they say, can you do this? And then you go, yeah. And then you think later on, I really didn't want to do that. So having a pre-prepared phrase, which I always have, I don't have my calendar right now, but I will come back to you. And that's it. It might be true. And sometimes it is. But if it's not, and you just think, I need to think of an excuse, at least that gives you time. Or it gives you time to question, do I really want to spend time with that person? And if you do, and you think that way, great. Doesn't matter. You've given yourself time. What I quite like is, especially for people when they are going on and on about their issues and their problems, is to ask them, okay, I'm happy to listen until 5 o'clock or whenever, but how best can I help you right now? What would you like me to do that's going to be the most use for you? Because that's actually being a good friend. But it's also throwing back the empowerment and onus to that other person to actually think a little bit more rather than drag you into the negative spiral that they're going into. But certainly, I would say boundaries are the most important. Calling people out as well might be another option. And that is, for example, if someone's gossiping the whole time, you might ask, well, why did you say that? Or why are we talking about this person? Or why would you call them that? Those sorts of questions. Again, it's about helping people become more aware of their behaviors. And in doing so, you might help them make changes.
Mm-hmm. So how about if you try to set boundaries and you say, okay, I'm not going to talk about this and that subject with you. The only help I can give you at the moment is, I don't know, financial or something that is not really that much emotional, but you still, just like you mentioned, perhaps with a family or just out of loyalty, you still want to be with that person. How to deal with that if they do not want to listen and they keep pushing their boundaries?
It's hard, but I am one of those people that now has learned to say, you know where I am if you change my mind. That's all I can offer you. And that's, I don't get drawn into arguing back with people, because that's just a waste of time, because they're not willing to listen, clearly, because they're arguing. And if you're not willing to listen or recognize that no compromise is going to be found, then it is better. I find it healthier to be able to say, well, this is the position I'm in. I would love to help you. I'm sorry that help is not what you need right now or what you want right now, but that's all I can do. You might wish to even signpost them to professional help or whatever that you might think they need, but it's about sticking to your boundary is there to be stuck to. That's kind of the other thing. Otherwise, all you're doing is you are teaching that person, if they go on at you long enough, they will wear you down. That's not what you want to teach someone, because it's not helping either of you. So if you're going to set a boundary, you're going to have to stick to it. Or you end up doing something drastic like me. I always used to give rides to people. And so when I bought my car that I've got now, I bought a sports car. So it's only got two seats.
That's pretty expensive boundary, isn't it?
It was a secondhand car. So I was looking to change my car anyway. So I didn't spend more than I planned.
That's clever. It's like, oops, sorry. I mean, unless you want to be on the roof.
Exactly. I physically can't do it. But that was 6 years ago, and I've learned since then.
I have certain boundaries too. If I can share it, I would say with certain people, I cannot speak with them when I'm at home. I need to be outdoor. So that will prevent me from perhaps raising my voice, getting agitated. I'm always trying to pick up the calls or call them in between jobs. So I'm like, hey, I have like 10 minutes. I'm checking. How are you? How is it going? If I see the conversation is not going as planned, I'm like, you know what? I have to wake up tomorrow very early. So I need to cut it right now. I need to go to sleep. So have a good night. You know, those little things which are, Sometimes I feel guilty for that, but we need to find a way how to deal with it without really perhaps making some drastic movements towards them.
Yeah, what you're actually talking about is we need to find ways of giving ourselves permission to do what actually is best for us, but without actually any real structure to give us permission. So with you, like with my car, although that was pretty drastic, I can't physically fit you in. And with you on the phone, I'm between jobs. I have a client waiting for me. I can't practically spend the time talking to you. So we've already created a boundary that's a little bit more understandable. If you get clever about it, you can start making those boundaries up. You can start saying, no, I've actually got work to go to, even if you don't. But I think that's really sad if you find yourself having to do that. And it is often better to actually try and deal with the friendship as it is. And if they really are a good friend, they will listen to you and they will appreciate it. And if they don't, you've got to come back to, I cannot save people from themselves.
Mm-hmm. So do you think toxic friendship can be fixed? And is it worth saving?
Yeah, I actually think some can. I think is better than and. I do think changes need to be made on both sides in order for the friendship to work. In other words, boundaries have to be made explicitly clear. And both of you likely need to be in a different place now compared to where you were then. So I have reunited with a couple of friendships that became a bit toxic. But again, that was, I recognized I was in a funny place. They were in a funny place. And actually now we are in completely different places and have had that apology, have had that hugging it out. And it actually has made a difference. And it's lovely, but it's about both of you recognizing that things have changed and you have grown and both of you accepting the friendship on new parameters. It's not necessarily healthy to keep coming back to a friendship if you haven't moved forward, or they haven't moved forward, or you've moved forward but they haven't, because sometimes with even with the best will in the world, you can't keep dragging people along with you.
Mm-hmm. And then last one, which you kind of touched up on, how do we recognize if the friend is using us? So we know, okay, monetary wise, financial wise, we can see it, feel it, experience it. But when it comes to emotion, sometimes feelings, we might not necessarily recognize it every time.
Yeah.
Is there any way how we could define it?
Patterns is one of them. The flakiness is a good example of that. Someone who values their time much more than your own. It's okay. Natalia will just wait for me. It's fine. She'll be understanding. And that's when you start questioning. If they start bringing other friends to things that you've invited them to on your own, that kind of thing. So behaviors might begin to give it away. If you begin to, this is about recognizing the feelings in yourself. If you begin to feel awkward, or you begin to feel unloved or unvalidated when you spend time with that person, again, you might begin to recognize that you are being emotionally drained. There are emotional vampires, it's a great phrase for them, because they suck the life out of and soul out of the room or out of you. And good friends don't do that. So again, we come back to spending time with both so you can recognize the difference. But if you, there's something in you that starts saying, hang on a minute, this isn't quite right, do yourself the courtesy and give yourself the respect to listen to you.
Amen. But before we finish, I just want to say your TikTok, oh my God, is my biggest inspiration. So I look at it. Sometimes I'm not like even liking just because I'm just like going through it. But I'm thinking, for everyone who is out there and have just spare minute on the tube or somewhere to get any type of, I would say, advice, inspirational type of talks, it's great because it's so short, so on point, so right there. You hit actual spot with everything. So I think everyone who is out there, I don't know what's your TikTok account again, if you can promote it.
Yes, it is at Dr. Audrey T, and it's literally, it's 1 minute daily well-being reminders, just little things to remind yourself you're doing okay.
It's fantastic. Listen, I'm probably gonna not copy you in your work, but I'm just like, this is fantastic way, fantastic tool. And speaking about social media, how you can use it to really, in a short 1 minute, 30 seconds video, give someone a fantastic advice. So if you guys on TikTok, make sure you follow, because I think it will give you some power, energy, knowledge. So it's fantastic. Thank you for that.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you for the conversation. You know, again, something that I can and get some tips for myself, and I'm experiencing that too. So it's just another lesson learned, and some type of good, you know, exchange conversation. So thank you.
Thank you as well. And I'm so happy that you choose these wonderful topics to talk about, because I think everybody sits there and can relate to it in some way.
Well,
you're not alone.
I'm not taking credit for that. It's all you and your ideas. And I just follow the leader.
You are so welcome. And thank you for sharing your platform with me.
Thank you. You have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
And now it's time for our workout. But before we continue, here are some valuable information from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Yes, yes, team, and we back with my fitness tips. So I would like to point out how grateful and happy I am for the weather we have these days. It's fantastic. It couldn't be no better. The vitamin D, sun, beautiful mornings, late beautiful evenings where you can really enjoy outdoor meal, coffee, drink. It's beautiful. Make sure you use that time wisely. Make sure you always, always think about your physical well-being, physical health, as well as mental health. So I really would like to encourage you to use this time and just do more outdoor activities. You know, it can be simple jog, it can be running. I've spoke about it with you several times a few weeks ago, but I would like you to really let me know how your progress is going, because this beautiful weather actually can be a beautiful and amazing motivation, inspiration to do something better for our bodies, our brains. Even when it comes to choices of your foods, it's very important to make the good, right choices for our bodies. Healthy mind equals healthy body. So it's very important to eat a lot of fresh fruit, a lot of fresh vegetables, greens, instead of some junk food or just processed food. That is extremely important. I would like to highlight that. And the other part is really try to use outdoor as a way to progress with your fitness journeys. So, simple walk, jog, bicycle, playing volleyball, maybe a little bit of football. Who knows? Be creative. Give me something that will really challenge you. If you would like to talk about it, you can always message me. If you need some ideas because you're lacking them, of course, message me as well. Find me on Instagram, fitnesswithnk. I think it's a great way to connect. And if you want to talk about it, I'm there for you. So let me know how it goes, team. Let me know about your food choices. Let me know what you're eating. Let me know how your day look like. Let me know about your fitness journey, your fitness path. I'll see you next time. So now you've realized that there are some parts of a particular friendships that are toxic and make you feel like crap. But none of us like the idea of losing a friend. And some people deserve a second chance, so it's worth trying to talk it out with them. Remember that you don't deserve to be treated badly, especially by a friend. Friendships are built on trust. After all, if you can't rely on your BFF, what's the point of having one? If you don't trust that they have your best interest in mind, that's often a sign that something's not working. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode because I enjoy it very much. And I hope you really like my fitness tips. Remember, if you want to see some short workouts and have more ideas for your workouts, visit my website, www.nataliakotowska.com. You have plenty of free workouts over there and other opportunities and possibilities to train with me. Share with me your thoughts, share with me your comments, DM me with your life stories. Maybe you want to be a part of the show. You're more than welcome. If you have any questions, or if you would like to just talk to me about anything, any subject, please contact me. Follow me on my Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message. And again, make sure you visit my website for more information, www.nataliakotowska.com. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I hope to see you next time.